In the sort of old days, the 80s and 90s, Chinese artists who got attention abroad often emigrated. They set up in Australia or France or the U.S. Melissa Chu, who's museum director of the Asia Society, has noticed something interesting. The longer these artists live overseas...
And now most of them have lived outside China for over 10 years.
The more Chinese their works look. They play with old-fashioned Chinese subjects and materials like ink and gunpowder, even tea.
Although you wouldn't necessarily describe it as a nostalgia for China, I think that there's a recognition on the part of these artists that they really, their formative years, their background culture is Chinese.
Studio 360's Lou Olkowski visited some of these artists to find out why and how they're holding on to the past.
Yin Mei lives a pretty regular life out in the suburbs on Long Island. She has a husband, two kids, and a big dog.
Do you need me to get Fluffy?
If you can just wait until she does not bark.
Yeah. Let me bring Fluffy into the kitchen.
Yeah, sure, so that would be great.
In 1985, she came from Luoyang, China, for a dance and choreography fellowship. And now she does a performance where she drenches herself in ink and languidly drags herself across the floor, using her body to write calligraphy on long scrolls of paper. It looks kind of exotic and beautiful. But ink has some pretty dark associations for her.
Well, everybody knows this. During the Cultural Revolution, when you want to humiliate people, you have a meeting. And in the beginning, they are only using words and starting to yell. And later on, they're starting to use hands to hitting you. This is very, very common. And then when further on, they want to humiliate you, they're pouring a bottle of ink covered with your body. And they cut your hair halfway. So everywhere, everybody knows that you are a counter-revolutionary. You are a spy.
Yin Mei goes on to tell a story about one of her mother's friends.
She is a small leader at the time. She was considered a capitalist dog.
And one day, as this friend was walking home, she was followed by an angry mob beating drums and gongs.
People are behind her shouting, "Dang, Zheng Tingfang, dang," you know, and people coming to hit her. I saw a bottle of ink landed on her face and then covered her face. That evening, the institute have a public bath. And when I coming in to the bath, and I saw a woman facing back in the corner, and her back, I thought she was wearing a clothes. And then I look at her. Those are bruises. Her whole back, it was all bruises. Blue mark, blue-black mark. And that is in my mind. When I'm talking to you, I see where she was and in that corner and all of that.
As the dance ends, Yin Mei stands and faces the audience as green tea powder pours over her ink-stained body. It's not just dancers who are using traditional ink and calligraphy as metaphors. Take the artist Xu Bing. The son of two professors, he was taught that being a good calligrapher was a sign of being educated and cultured. And in Beijing, he was known as being kind of a joker and a word geek. So when he got to the U.S., he thought he'd play around with the English language, the same way he played with Chinese.
Yeah, my English is really terrible. Yeah, really limited. So I always... bother me, you know, between the two languages, yeah.
He invented a writing system. He took English words and squeezed all the letters together to look like calligraphied characters. So like China, C, H, I, N, and A formed into one beautifully drawn symbol. At first glance, it looks just like Chinese, but it can only be read by English speakers.
That piece really explained about my situation or my person life, you know, yeah.
It's called square word calligraphy.
Square word calligraphy is really show your really real true Chinese face, right? But inside is totally doesn't related with the Chinese, like living in between the two cultures.
Xu Bing is an international art star. But back in China, not everyone is proud of the overseas artists. The loudest critic is a guy named Wang Nanming. He's made a name for himself because he's one of the only art critics in China who actually criticizes anything. When I called him up in Shanghai, he compared overseas Chinese art to a Chinatown dinner.
So for Westerners to have food there in Chinatown, they would think that this is wonderful, and that's their understanding of what Chinese food should be.
So like we eat bad Chinese food, we're looking at bad Chinese art?
The more superficial the artwork is, the more positive reaction you get from the Western viewers.
The artist Xu Bing again.
They think I'm getting successful because I use a Chinese symbol. Play Chinese card, right?
Yeah, it's called playing the Chinese card.
Play the Chinese card. But I say is I'm Chinese. I playing Chinese card. I'm Chinese. You say, oh, you couldn't play Chinese card. You play American card.
You should play the Italian card.
Yeah, and 实际上有这种想法的人,
it's like the people who have that opinion are people that don't have confidence in their own culture.
A work of Chinese art that Wang Nanming, the critic, really likes was an installation of used tampons collected from women around the world. No reference to China or the past, but very modern.
So the reason why I like it is because it creates controversy.
Kind of like Chairman Mao, Wang Nanming thinks the past is a burden. But what if you use a classical style to talk about contemporary issues? A London-based artist, Yun Feiji, makes ink landscapes. They resemble Song Dynasty paintings, but they're not exactly lyrical. One painting shows a bunch of Western tourists on a luxury liner.
Someone is laying on the swimming pool on the boat and drinking and having a party and then taking endless photographs of the beautiful scene. And then on the shore, you have people who are moving, have animals stuck in a car, and they have all the belongings piled up and ruins and things.
Bon Voyage is about the massive Three Gorges Dam built on the Yangtze River.
I'm always interested in this these big projects, these things that are supposed to bring China into modern era. Like, look what we can do, build the world's largest dam. Very proud, you know. But the consequence, the result is almost 2 million people have to be displaced. So I'm always very skeptical of some of these big ideas that would fix everything, you know.
But does the ink painting exoticize China's environmental problems?
You have to be a little bit careful about using it to say exoticizing, because there's some genuine interest in a culture that's so different from your own, which is totally healthy, totally good. And then the attraction is both ways. So we also exoticize the West.
For Studio 360, I'm Lou Olkowski.
You can see work by some of these artists at studio360.org.